Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I ask that you turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Again, that's Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 29. And it reads, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of repentance," or the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with ever forms of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearers of his word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people and break with them the bread of life. Dear Lord, we ask that at this time that you just use me as you see fit. Remove me, dear Heavenly Father, and use me as your instrument to bring to your people a word from you on high. And dear Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over this church, watch over Pastor Mike, be with his family, be with each member individually and collectively. These things we ask your darling son, Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Amen. This morning, as I walked in, I was talking with Joy and Kathy, and I was explaining to them about my last stint. The first couple of days, I was fine. You know, I thought I was Superman again. I was out in my yard raking leaves, and after I did that, I was cleaning gutters and all the other good stuff. You know, I felt great. But then, when I came in and I sat down for a moment, and I bent over and I sat back up again, then it was that same recurring pain that I had before I even had the stint. And it's been going on like that for the past week. I said, okay, I got a doctor's appointment this Thursday. I'll wait and I'll deal with it at that time. And besides that, I didn't want to ruin my wife's vacation. My wife is on a cruise to the Bahamas. So, if I went into the hospital, then that would discourage her from going. So I decided, hey, I'll hang in there until she gets back, which will be Thursday. I see the doctor on Thursday, so all is well. And besides, hey, I went a year and a half with the thing acting up as it was. So I figured a few more days, Lord, please, shed a little kindness. But I do believe that I shall be okay until then because, like I said, I went a year. And I feel okay. Like I said, just as long as I don't get out there and start acting crazy again and don't overdo it, you know, thinking I'm Superman, which I'm not, but I thought I was. All right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. This morning, I just want to talk with you briefly about when your past keeps you from moving forward. Now, see, that doesn't even sound like what Ephesians is even talking about, right? But you have to think about it. Because if you're getting that malicious talk about your past, how can you move forward? And as I was studying this thing, you know, because like, you know, we like to throw the blame off on somebody else. We don't want to take any responsibility for any of this stuff. And as I was studying this and I was doing the research on it, I realized that I played a part in this too. And I said, oh man, now in all this time, I was throwing the blame over there. But then, like I said, as I did a little research and then looking into what Paul had to say, Paul was saying, wait a minute now. And that's a two-way street you're driving down. So, you know, just like the person that's going this direction, and you're going in, you got some responsibility to be safe also. So, let us begin. Sometimes it's very hard being a Christian when the people who are close to you, to us, will shoot you down and think nothing about it. It's not so bad when there is no one around, but to do these things in front of visitors in your home, that cuts harder than a surgical knife across one's heart. And believe me, I've been cut many times. But, like I said, this is what got me thinking about when your past keeps you from moving forward. And see, Paul tells us in verse 29, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to be used to of edification that may minister grace unto the hearer. What's Paul talking about here? Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. What he's saying is, don't let things that hurt people come out of your mouth and then be sorry about it later on. See, if you edify the person instead of cutting them down, then you feel better. But like I said, a lot of times we don't look at it like that. Excuse me for a moment here. What Paul is saying here is no corrupt communication. Filthy or unclean words and discouragement and poisonous and infectious as tainted rotten meat. Now that's pretty bad. You know, when you let words come out of your mouth that comes out and it sounds like tainted rotten meat. That proceeds from and proves a great deal of corruption in the heart of the speaker and tends to corrupt the minds and manner of others who hear them. Christians should beware of all sorts of discouraging conversation. Paul further states that we should edify and minister grace unto the hearer. Christians should endeavor to promote a useful conversation. Promote a useful conversation. You know, something that, you know, you both can talk about and feel good about it. See, because like I came up with the subject before I actually did the research. So this is why I had to think about it. And I want to keep saying it over and over again, and then sooner or later it'll kick in. But when your past keeps you from moving forward, because it seems like the thing that hurts me the most is my past. Even though I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, people cannot seem to forget about where I was. They still seem to see me in that same light. They won't take the time to get to know me or to realize that there is a change in my life. I know that I feel that there is. I know I don't do the things I used to do. Because believe me, back in the day, I had an expression, but I can't say it over the pulpit. But it had something to do with about me being well, you know. But most of the time I was sick, you know. I just put that much in there, you know. But see, my past, like I said, even though I'm responsible for it, I take full responsibility for it. But the thing that really gets me is that as long as someone keeps bringing that past up, it hurts me and keeps me from moving forward. See? Because as soon as I think that I am on my way of moving forward, then here comes the past. This thing is not going to work here. So we know which one's going, right? It is the greatest duty of all Christians to take care that they offer not with their lips, and that they improve, discourage discourse for the good of others. To sum it up, corrupt conversation means filthy speech, that which is rotten or portrait. This word is killing me. I'll spell it for you. P-U-T-R-I-D. Putrid. Whatever. An uncontrollable tongue in the mouth of a believer is the index of a corrupt life. Believers who use the shed of questionable stories revealing a heart of wickedness. What is in the wheel of the heart will come up through the bucket of the mouth. In other words, what you feel in your heart, sooner or later, is going to come out here. And see, back in the day, like I said, my past, see, when you know, when I had a couple of shots of Granddad, mix it down with a couple of shots of Budweiser, I tell you what I thought. Because, hey, it didn't matter then. You know, I just tell you what was on my mind. And like I said, back then, that got me into a lot of trouble also. Well, you said when you was this, blah, blah, blah. Well, hey, you caught me when I was under the influence. But, you know, they say that, hey, when a person's been drinking, that's when you hear the truth. I wouldn't know. Because I made it a practice never to tell on myself. An uncontrolled tongue in the mouth of a believer is the index of a corrupt life. Believers who use the shed of questionable stories revealing a heart of wickedness. What is in the wheel of the heart will come up through the bucket of the mouth. The speaker of the believer should be on the highest plane of instructing and communication and communicating encouragement to other believers. You can have fun and enjoy life. Honor, a humor has its place, but our humor should not be dirty or filthy. In other words, God says you can have fun. You know, you can joke and you can tease, but don't let it be filthy or dirty. And then again, and most importantly, don't let your speech be hurtful to someone else. That's the biggest thing I got out of this. You know, people don't seem to realize that they can say things out of their mouths that'll make you feel that big. There has been times that my wife has said things to me that I felt so low I could sit on a dime and my legs would dangle down. Now that hurts. And a lot of times she was waiting for me to retaliate. But I wouldn't. That's what hurt even more. Because of the fact that, you know, I was being shot down and I took it. Now, just that alone should have been proof enough to her that I have changed. Because there was a time that you want to say that to me and walk away. Because I would have something to say back. But I realize now that it takes two to argue. And one of, if one of you defuses that situation, there is no argument. And then again, like I said, it doesn't get you anywhere. Arguments, the only thing that comes out of an argument, somebody's going to walk away hurt. And Paul tells us that that's not the way it should be. He said, if you got to say something to somebody, say something to encourage them. Say something to build them up. Say something to make them feel like they are somebody. You know, it's hard. And I'm going to get off track here for a moment, but it's hard when you're growing up and you have parents who tell you that you ain't going to be nothing. And you struggle all your life with this on your mind. Well, Dad said I ain't going to be nothing. So why am I trying so hard? And for almost a lifetime, you believe that. But then, once you accept Christ into your life, you realize, forget that. I am going to be something. I am going to be somebody. See, Paul lets us know, don't pay attention to that conversation. And in verse 30, Paul tells us, and grieveth not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, see what Paul's trying to try. Paul moving it up a little bit further now. He's saying, not only are you hurting the individual with your filthy talk or whatever, you're also grieving the Holy Spirit. Now you want to ask, who is the Holy Spirit? Now we all know. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So who are you grieving? You're grieving God. So the next time you feel like you need to tell somebody off, think about what you're doing. Paul tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a person who can be grieved. What kind of things that are grievous to him? It is often that it has been listed in verse 29. When a Christian lies, it grieves the Holy Spirit. When a Christian has dirty thoughts, it grieves the Holy Spirit. What happens when any person, got to turn the page here, excuse me, is grieved? When I'm grieved, check this out. When I am grieved, it breaks the fellowship. The Holy Spirit cannot work in our lives when you have grieved him, when fellowship with has been broken. So not only have you broken fellowship with me, you've broken fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You've broken fellowship with God. See, God said, I forgive you of all those things you've done in your past. And if I forgive you, you start anew. So if I started anew, I don't need to hear about this. Like I tell my wife a lot of times, you ain't got to tell me about that. I lived it. And believe me, I haven't forgotten it. Because I thank God that he brought me thus far. Because some of the things that I did, It was only by the grace of God that I stand here today. Whereby ye are sealed. This tells us that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, but we cannot grieve him always because we are sealed in him. How wonderful this is. You were sealed in the Holy Spirit at the moment of regeneration. If you know what that means, when you came and you accepted Christ as your Savior. The moment you accepted him as your Savior, you were sealed with him. Hallelujah and thank God. At that moment, I was sealed with him. And I'm going to say it just like this. Nothing you can say can hurt me. Because anything you say to me, really, you got to understand, I'm sealed. So if I'm sealed, who are you actually talking to? You're talking to the child of the king. So not only have you grieved me, you grieved God. Like I said, don't worry about it. It gets to a part where I'm going to get to the part where it has to deal with me. So like right now, I'm just throwing it out there so you can understand where I am. You know, I'm trying to build up to that part. And that's the part I really don't want to discuss. Until the day of redemption. He sealed you until the day when he will present you to the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer cannot unseal his work, which connects to the day of, until the connection of to the day of redemption. But the believer may grieve him. What is the great difference between Christians today? The real difference is that some Christians live with a grieved Holy Spirit. And some lived with an ungrieved Holy Spirit. So which one are you? Do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Or are you ungrieved? Think about it. Paul presents a challenge. He wants to know. Which one are you? In verse 31 and 32, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speech be put away from you with all malice. See, we're getting close. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. The first two verses are in sharp contrast one with the other. There is an additional list of things which grieve the Holy Spirit in verse 31. These are the sins of emotional nature. The emotional response which God wants us to have are given in verse 32. Bitterness. Is a state of mind which produces harsh and hard opinions of others. A great many people are speaking out of bitterness. And when they do, it hurts. This grieves the Holy Spirit. See, now that got me to thinking. Okay, now this is what, like I said, this is where I start coming into the picture. See, now, Paul is starting to make me think about, all right, you got a part in this too. So he's saying now, if the person that is spitting, I don't want to call it venom, is spitting venom on you, there's got to be a reason for it. And then I think about it. Okay, I did hurt my wife in the past. I know I did. But God forgave me. The thing of it is, when you say, I can forgive you, but I can't forget, you haven't forgiven me. Because as long as you're walking around saying, I forgive you and I can't forget, you're still carrying that stuff with you. And if you're carrying it with you, sooner or later, you're going to use it. So like I said, I did have a part in that. I played a part in that. You know, not only did I grieve the Holy Spirit, I grieved her also. Wrath and anger are outbursts of passion. Clamor means that the bold, excessive of supported right and grievance. For example, there are people in the church who feel that the pastor isn't paying attention to them if he does not shake their hands. Ooh. Sometimes they even become bitter and clamorous over a supposed slighting. Like they've been slighted because the pastor didn't walk by and shake their hand, so now they're upset. The whole world's going to come to an end because so-and-so didn't get his hand shook today. You know, Pastor Mike, that's tragic. You know, you got to... Who can say that the pastor must run around and shake hands with everyone simply to keep the people happy? Now, you think we need to do that, Pastor Mike? You think we need to run around and shake everybody's hands just to make them happy? Yeah, let's start shaking hands. But or we could do it the easy way, just stand by the back door and they can shake hands as we go out. See, then everybody gets satisfied. But, you know, I've been in some churches where people actually did get upset because the pastor overlooked them one Sunday. He didn't shake their hands or whatever. Out upset. Why? The man is responsible for your soul, not shaking your hand. He's here to help you in your spiritual walk. A handshake, I don't know. Is that part of a spiritual walk? Is that got anything? Did we miss something in the school? Barry, did we miss something? Was that part of a course that we missed? I didn't think so, but hey, you know, it happens because we're dealing with people. And when you deal with people, anything is possible. It is a kind of attitude that grieves the Holy Spirit. Evil speaking and blaspheming, but it also means all kinds of slander and malice. As well, as we have noted before, is congealed hatred. Be put away from you. All these sins are to be put away, literally taken away. We must make a decision to put these sins away, not coming a marked control. Don't let these sins control you. Don't let these sins build up so much that they just burden you down to the point where you're just miserable. That's what Paul's trying to get you to understand. Don't let those things make you to the point where you're so miserable that you become a bitter person. And then when you become a bitter person, you take it out on everybody else around you. And now you done made everybody in the house miserable. Ain't nobody happy. Like I said, I played a part in that too. Be ye denoted that radical change that should take place in a believer so that there will be no vacuum in his life. Keep one to another means Christian courtesy. Tenderheartedness is more intense words than kind. It means to be full of deep and mellow affection. So believers are like that. They are wonderful friends. When they see you, they put their arms around you. They're actually genuinely happy to see you. And that's what I love about this church here. Seriously, everyone has that type of attitude. They're actually genuinely happy to see one another or each other each time we come together. And that's a blessing. Kind one to another. I already went there. Forgiveness, forgiving one another. It is literally forgiving one another yourself. Now, see, this is what, like I said, Paul coming, he ready to throw the blame back on me. He said, forgive one another yourself. He said, you know, you got a part in this. So if you got a part in it, as a Christian, you need to forgive that person and then ask God for his forgiveness. It just don't stop there. It means to give and take in a relationship to flourish on one another. We are to forgive rather than to magnify the frustration of others. Like I said, it came to me. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, all of this is to be done on a twofold basis. First, this conduct will not grieve the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the basis of forgiveness is not legal, but gracious. This is not a command under the law, but is on the basis of the grace of God exhibited in our forgiveness because Christ died for us. Now, do I need to break that down, make it real simple? Paul is saying that if God sent his son, Jesus, to take on my sins, your sins, and everybody else's sins in the world, and then walk up to that cross and bear those sins of all of us so that we might have the right to the tree of life, so that we might see God. He sent a son just for us. I'm going to be selfish. He sent him just for me. And his son died just for me. Because he loved me so much, he sent his son to die for me. Like I said, I'm getting selfish. If you don't feel like that about your salvation, I can't help you. But you should have that selfish attitude. He died for me. We are to forgive because we have been forgiven. It is not that we forgave in order to get forgiveness. Note the contrast. Christ was stated that the legal ground for forgiveness in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you your trespasses." Matthew 6:14 and 15. Here in Ephesians, we are told to forgive on the basis of the grace of God, which he exhibited in our forgiveness for Christ's sake, because Christ died for us. Now, do you see where I came up with that subject? You can't move forward because of your past. See, as long as you're walking around and not forgiving those people who have grievances against you, you will never be able to move forward. So in order to make it, so to break those chains, Paul says, go to that person, forgive them, and then ask the Holy Spirit to forgive you. And then those chains have been broken and you can move on. You won't be bound by the things that people say. Like I said, if they were to take my heart out and look at it, you'd see the scars on it. You can get around the stents, but there are scars on it because of the hurt of things that people have said to me. I wore it personally. But then after looking at Paul and what he had to say in Ephesians, I realized that, hey, it don't have to be like that. I don't have to walk around feeling like I don't belong to anybody. Because I had to realize that, hey, I am a member of the Holy Family. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to come forward and ask, and I'll be more than happy to explain it to you. Because I can remember, like I said, back in my past, when I was sitting out there in that audience and the pastor would extend that invitation to come forward and become a part of the family, and I would say to myself, oh, next Sunday. And you know, once I did accept Christ as my Savior, I had to look back and I'm saying, if not for the grace of God, because there could have been plenty of Sundays I walked out of that doggone church and got hit by a bus or anything. Not only that, not only did he see me through my bad times, he also saw me through a trip across the water, as I call it, because I spent a year over in Thailand and he watched over me. There on the Mekong River, 15 miles from Vietnam. And he watched over me every single day and brought me back here. Why? Because he had a job for me to do. And I wasn't going to get out of it, even though I tried. He said, you will. And I kept trying to run and say, I won't. But when you're laying there, And you look down and you see yourself laying in a pool of blood and you realize it's your own. And the light finally comes on. Hey, if I die right here and now, I'm going straight to hell. If that's not a wake-up call, I don't know what is. And once I accepted Christ as my Savior, it didn't seem that hard. I had my struggles, yes. I've had my good, as the song says, I've had my good days and I've had my bad days. But I bet you right now the good days outweigh the bad. Because every day that I get up out of the bed, that's a good day. And to realize that God chose me to stand here in front of you and tell you what he had to say. Thank you, Jesus. So as I conclude, I want to say thank you for being a family and being friends. Let's pray. The Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people and break with them the bread of life. At this time, dear Lord, I want to ask that you continue to watch over us and guide us. Be with us, dear Heavenly Father, as we go our separate ways, but bring us back collectively next Sunday. Dear Heavenly Father, watch over us and guide us. These things I ask in your darling Son, Jesus' name, and for our sake, amen.